We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Back here on OMF, Fitzy filling in today for the big fella. The big fella has the long weekend, another one of his long weekends. He loves long weekends. What amazes me about this Tuukka Rask story is it's becoming a story because Tuukka Rask happened to wear a Boston police cap. It's simple. You can do a search for it. Anybody remember April the 20th, 2013, and an emotional night over at the Garden where the Bruins were honoring the heroes of the marathon bombings on the ice, and all the first responders were out there.
Sure do.
Police officers, and all of the Bruins were wearing the police officers' caps. Did we all forget about that? Can we go back to 9/11? You want to go back to 9/11 and go back and see some of the images? There are tons of pictures of Bruins players wearing a Boston police cap. And as Lou said, none of them are sitting there defending the cop who murdered George Floyd. Nobody is doing that. They're defending the local cops here, and they're also in a statement telling everybody that they understand the racial injustice and they want to be part of at least a symbolic gesture by locking arms during the national anthem. I don't know why the two can't be combined. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Maybe I'm missing something.
Yeah. Oh, how about this one, by the way? Evan Moore, police cap. After his team releases a statement about social justice, is all one needs to know when it comes to hockey culture.
Oh, kick rocks with this crap, would you, guy?
This is unbelievable.
Hockey culture. Now it's everything.
Now it's endemic of hockey, Blue.
This is just what hockey's all about. Those hockey players, they support cops. Mm-hmm. They support the bad cops. I guarantee Tuukka Rask, he supports cops murdering people, innocent people.
And don't forget, he plays in Boston.
Yep.
And Boston, as everyone likes to call it from outside, that's the racist sports city. That's where all the bad people
are. It's amazing
that
sometimes you have to say certain things. Like, just for the record, I don't support cops murdering innocent people.
You sure you want to stay with that?
You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb.
There you go.
Tweet it out. I'm just saying. I just want people to understand.
Tyler, Wait, send that out from the company account.
You change your position on human trafficking.
And I'm sure there are a lot of... You know what? I don't support human trafficking, sex trafficking.
Thank you,
Lord.
What about organ harvesting?
Well, I mean, you might talk me into that one. But I'm just... Again, I don't think cops support cops murdering innocent people.
I think they've come out and they articulated
not all
that. Cops were talking about that.
Well, whatever.
I just don't understand it that Tuukka Rask is taking this type of heat, and now Marchand is taking heat for apparently being rude to media members in trying to defend his teammate.
Hey, Glenn, I'd also like to ask real quick. I pointed this out to Lou during the break. The screen cap, which you can see in an article by Scott McLaughlin on WEEI.com, there's the Matt Porter tweet, at Matty Ports, he writes, and then there's this, and it's the picture of Tuukka being interviewed by Trenny. Now, where did Trenny during the interview? I can't confirm this. Maybe someone can go back and listen again for us. But did Trenny say, like, hey, what's with the hat, Tuuk?
I'm surprised she didn't cancel the interview.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she's a big social justice warrior.
Blinded by the white.
Oh, my God. I mean, did she, like, what's with the hat, Tuukka? Or, like, do you understand, like, this could be seen as controversial around town? Talk about fraud. Jeez.
What are we doing here? We're losing our mind. Well, you've seen the heat that Gordon Hayward is taking right now.
Of course.
So, yeah, so the players are putting slogans on the back of their jerseys. He's selected, and they were all pre-selected by the NBA. So you can't go outside the list. There's a list of the ones you can use. And the one that he decided on using was education reform. And suddenly, that's a bad thing.
What a jerk he is.
I hate him. Cancel, more like cancel Hayward, right?
Cancel him. Get rid of him.
So my idea in reading
right
some
now,
of this stuff.
Take the hit, release him.
Yeah, when the NBA came up with these various slogans, education reform was that right now education is lacking within the black community, and we need to do something about it. So that's where they came up with education reform. So Gordon Hayward is taking heat because he selected education reform.
By the way, he's not the only one.
No, I got a guy that also is doing it. How about Marcus Morris? And he's not getting any heat.
Markeith, his brother. How about Kyle Lowry?
He's a pretty good ball player.
CJ McCollum, Kent Bazemore, DeMar DeRozan.
Pretty good player.
So just to name a few, I mean, there's a dozen players that chose education reform.
And last I checked, I think education reform, that's the base from which I think a lot of us believe that problems begin in a broken society. And also, Glenn, I think, if I'm not mistaken, that one of Jaylen Brown's priorities and mission statements is education reform. So not only may Gordon Hayward be doing something that's important as part of this social justice revolution, but also supporting something that's a priority to a teammate as well.
We've gotten to the point, Fitzy, where we're not sitting down. Nobody's listening to Tuukka Rask or asking him his feelings on anything. What we're doing is, if there's any symbolism that we believe suddenly represents the what we consider now the other side, it's awful. It's terrible. It needs to be canceled. It needs to be removed. That's what we're doing. Tuukka Rask has done nothing wrong here. I'm amazed that this is even a story, but I don't think I should be, because 2020 is like a totally screwed up year. Here's Mark in Canton next up on OMF. Hi, Mark.
Whoa, hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, Mark.
First off and foremost, I support the police. I always have. I have family and friends that are police officers. And like Lou said, we support the police, not the ones that kill unarmed, innocent people.
I know, but Mark, it's amazing you have to say that, right?
The qualifier is
Mark, I just want to clear it up. You do not support police murdering innocent unarmed people.
You sure?
No, I don't.
Okay.
You sure you want to own that take, Mark?
Louis, you found anybody that's come out and said they do.
Mark, we got that on tape. I'm going to hold it to you. Yeah. I'll hold you to it.
But here's the deal. You know, here's the deal, all right? And I agreed with that gentleman a few callers ago that threw out the stats. The facts are always never pointed out. Here's another quick one. Last year, 2019, 10 African-American men were killed by police. 7 attacked the police officers, and 3 were in gun.
Yeah, but we're not. Hold on. We're not getting anywhere when nobody can question the George Floyd murder. So why don't we hone in on the George Floyd murder, make sure that justice is done. That's obviously a bad police officer, and not blame all of the other guys in the force that have done a good job, that are not out there, that are not racist, that are not trying to do harm to other people, that are simply trying to keep us safe on the streets. I mean, that's what we should do. We could sit here and break down all of that all night long. You're not going to get anywhere. Here's House in Dorchester. House, what do you got, buddy?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good,
what's
man.
Up,
how
House?
Are you?
Hey, House.
So listen to this, right? I understand what Tuukka did nothing wrong. And people, I just want to say this, right? People who continuously try to throw a monkey wrench in the whole thing by saying, you know, like the guy, he started quoting stats or whatever. You know, them stats don't matter. And the reason why other people are upset, and it's not about all police. Who doesn't want police? Nobody wants a crazy country. But the thing about it is when you have good police, of course, everybody knows that. But then you also have police that do wrong. And then what makes it worse is that they have a code. They do not tell when on each other. It's proven. Let's just admit that. Break the blue line and bring it all together. Let's just admit that. Is that fair? Okay? No, it's not. but we can all come together. And don't try to knock this man to make him, you know, go off the way he's going. He can support the police, he can support Black Lives Matter, and he can support whatever he wants to. This is the problem. We can't put limits on everybody because of what we want.
Well, that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. We all want to have, you know, single mind, and everybody thinks alike, and they don't understand that that's not how the world works. Here's John. He's in a car. What's up, John?
Hey,
hello,
going,
John.
Guys?
You got it.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Good. Hey, I've just been listening, and just wanted to mention the Gordon Hayward thing and how he picked education reform, and he's getting crushed for it just because apparently, like, it wasn't the right message or whatever. And it's just, I just heard what 50 said earlier about, like, he understands now why, like, Tom Brady, like, just never says anything. So you keep hearing, like, we need to have a conversation, but unless you come and, like, you have the exact right conversation, like, mm-hmm. it doesn't work, and you get killed.
Yeah, well, John, you have to say exactly what everyone wants to hear, and, of course, the death of, like, a message or creativity is trying to please everyone at the same time. I'd also like to point out, Ryan, you have the exact quote pulled up, I believe, but yeah. I think it was June 7th, Jaylen Brown, who Gordon Hayward is supporting by putting this priority of education reform as his name on the back of the jersey. What did Jaylen Brown tweet out June 7th?
Jaylen Brown tweeted out June 7th, quote, "Educational inequality is the most subtle form of racism."
Gordon Hayward, let's cancel him. What a jerk.
Unbelievable.
What a POS.
Yeah.
Get him out.
Supporting a teammate.
Get him out.
I think part of it is some of these people don't understand what some of these slogans are. They don't get it. They don't understand it.
Well, but Gordon Hayward's wife, donated to the Trump campaign in October 2016. So obviously he's the bad guy, right?
Well, there you go. That's part of the issue. Here's Steve in Rhode Island. Hello, Steve.
Hey, fellas. Great to talk to you again. So I just wanted to let you know, and this is serious. I'm usually trying to be funny, and this isn't funny at all. Common sense does still operate in the common people somewhere. One of my best friends is a sergeant in Warwick, the second largest city in Rhode Island. And, you know, he's always dragged me right towards the center. I've always dragged him a little left towards center, and it's a good balance. And the deal is this: Black Lives Matter plus Blue Lives Matter equals unity. And you have to start from there. I'll wear a T-shirt that has BLM in black and BLM in blue on the same T-shirt and see where that goes. Because obviously nobody wants no cops. And I'm a steward on a construction site. I have a million friends of every color, creed, and religion. Nobody wants no police. It doesn't even make sense. What would be enlightening perhaps someday is if good police were policing themselves and start weeding out the you-know-what.
Yeah,
but, you know, we'll get there someday. And one other thing I wanted to say, Glenn, yeah, sometimes it's too much with all three, but when Christian was on vacation, I think it was a week and a half ago, and it was just you and Lou talking baseball, it was really sharp and really enjoyable. I just wanted to let you know that.
Oh, don't tell that to Christian.
All right, see you guys.
Can we bleep that out? I don't want Christian to
dump
that.
Ryan, dump that.
Baseball
dump
makes that me quick. Happy.
Dump that quick, will you?
He's not listening.
Christian, he is listening because he's been texting us. What are you talking about? He's on vacation and he's listening to the show, I think. How foolish is that? The Brad Marchand, because I'm looking at more comments now of people lashing out at Brad Marchand. Marchand did exactly what you're supposed to do as a member of a team, right, Lou? You're going to support your guy and you're going to sit there and say, wait a minute, he supports both. And you're going to try to back your player and they're giving him a hard time. That's amazing to me. It really is.
It really is. And again, like some of these tweets, this guy Evan Moore, Chicago Sun-Times, says it's all you need to know about the hockey culture.
Oh.
Like the takes that are coming off of this guy wearing that hat during an interview and the criticism of Marchand defending a teammate because he knows Tuukka Rask. You know, he knows how he feels. He knows what it meant. He knows the reason why he wore a hat and everybody else interpreting it. It's just... I feel like we're in the age of, like, the athletes kind of clapping back to, like, just can't take the reporters anymore. You know what I mean? We've seen a lot of them just clapping back or slapping these guys down. If they, you know, the take on Twitter or whatever it is, here comes the athletes all of a sudden now on Twitter coming back and just slapping them down. I think it's a good thing.
Like, we're going to control the message a little bit for a change. Yeah, you guys.
I would tell you, slap me down if they'd like to.
I would say this, Fitzy. The media can have a field day if they want. I can't tell you how many pictures I've found here of Bruins players wearing Mass State cop hats, Boston police hats. Ooh, how about this one? NYPD caps. Uh-oh. Zillions of pictures online right now of all the Bruins over the years wearing caps.
Boston Marathon. Remember that whole thing.
I can't imagine that the Mass State Police or the BPD has done right by the Bruins and taken care of them and made sure that they get home safe or done anything for them. And we know the Bruins don't provide a service for us because we're not excited about that.
I remember the whole like Boston Marathon, how much I hated cops.
Ugh.
You know, like the few days that were going on afterwards.
First responders in Watertown, they were a pain in the ass.
Fire department, I hated those sons of bitches.
Awful, they were terrible. So yesterday on the show, when Christian
was
actually...
Get those sons of bitches out of here.
When Christian was here, all three of us agreed on who was going to be the number one player in this NFL Network, NFL.com poll of 100 top players. We were all wrong, and I think this guy got screwed. We'll get it for you coming up next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
EEI.
All right, back here on OMF, Fitzy in today for Christian Fourier. Christian was here yesterday, and all three of us, we took the top 10 of the NFL top 100, and we all threw out on the table what we thought the guy would be sitting at the number one seat when they made that announcement last night. All three of us, Lou, said Patrick Mahomes. He ends up number four on the list.
Dumb.
Lamar Jackson, number one. Russell Wilson, number two. Aaron Donald, number three. Patrick Mahomes, number four.
So they really do. Because we said Lamar Jackson, and I actually thought that he would, even though he was MVP, would be like 7, 8 in that range, 9. Because I feel like he needs to come out and prove, you know, whether, I don't want to call it like a hokey, fluky type of offense, but still.
You can say gimmick.
Gimmick. But, you know, teams try to, if they defend him and kind of stop that run, can he be the quarterback and make the passes he needs, right? So I felt like he needs another year. I was shocked, but I guess you're just going off, hey, if this guy's the MVP, then he should be the number one player.
How about a playoff win?
I was just going to say that. That's the problem I have with it. I understand the first year, he struggles in the playoffs. He's never been there before.
This was a troll job to get people to talk about their poll. I'm serious, because that's the only reason why you would possibly think that Pat Mahomes is the third best quarterback in the NFL.
And we fall for it every single time. I think he's the best player in the National Football League.
Third best quarterback in the NFL.
Did you see Tuca wearing that hat that said Mahomes is underrated?
How dare you, that bastard.
And that son of a bitch off my TV.
listen, Lou's right. Lamar might be the guy 3 years from now if he can extend his game.
He might be the year next offseason.
Right.
If he does it again, he'll throw the football. Smokes, and they can't stop him.
Win a playoff game.
And win in the playoffs, right. But right now, Mahomes has already done that. He has already done that. Now, the only thing I would say with Russell Wilson at number two over Mahomes at number four is Wilson is more seasoned. He's been around a
Who's
little
better?
Bit longer. And right. Right now, I think Mahomes is the better overall quarterback.
Right, he's the best quarterback in the league, correct?
That's what I think. Yeah.
I would take Mahomes, and then I would take Wilson, Lou, before I took Lamar Jackson.
Listen, he had a terrific season last year, and he was hurt. Wasn't he for 5 or 6 games? He was fighting through it last year.
Wow.
Yeah, I just think it's – I know they have – let's see, they have – somebody else redid it. Was this guy Shine? Adam Shine. NFL.com, and he redid it. And his is right, but his wouldn't have got us talking about it. You know what I mean? He had Gilmore 10, Henry 9, you know, all the way down. But number one was Pat Mahomes. Number two was Aaron Donald. Number three was Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, Michael Thomas, Christian McCaffrey 6, which I think is too low. He should have been lower than that.
Yeah.
But if he had done that, then we wouldn't have been talking about it.
Hey, here's a fun little fact.
But with Mahomes at 4?
Yeah. Fun little fact for you guys. Patrick Mahomes has more MVP trophies than Russell Wilson has MVP boats.
Knowledge.
Boats.
Yeah. It's just,
how about that?
It's a troll job. That's what it is. Because if it was a real list that wasn't really about clicks and getting people talking about it, I don't know who wouldn't put Pat Mahomes number one.
What was Brady doing 14?
Well, this guy, Jeremy Bergman,
expectations.
Writes today about it. So he's got his 5 things the voters got wrong. One, the first one was Jimmy Garoppolo over Dak Prescott. He's against that one. Players way too low on Myles Garrett. The third one, it's time, Tom. Brady being ranked the number 14 player in football and the number 5 quarterback going into 2020. Reminds me of the 2014 MLB All-Star Game, when in one of Derek Jeter's final at-bats on a national stage, starting National League pitcher Adam Wainwright may or may not have grooved a fastball right down the middle of the plate to the leadoff Yankee shortstop, resulting in a double and a standing ovation. It's an act of performative respect, purely ceremonial. Then he goes on to talk about he's a living legend. A statue, in parentheses, in the pocket, waiting to be erected. But his evaluation of the 2019 season is awful. So he says the same thing. He's basically saying it's a lifetime achievement award that they're putting him at number 14. Mm-hmm. He's not really number 14, and I agree with that. You? Not number 14.
No. I mean, Brady, I said yesterday morning, I got a lot of clapback, of course, from Curtis, who carries all of Brady's, you know, pH-balanced water. I said Brady's performance last year should have put him in the 40s. I didn't think Brady was that great last year. I'm the biggest Tom Brady fan that I know.
If it was based on, chance. Well, I just said that if Tom Brady returned to the New England Patriots this year, then that's exactly where he would be.
Yep. Oh, bleep.
But he's not. And he's on Tampa. And they're looking at that offense, and they're saying, well, yeah, actually, we think he can be a top 5, whatever it was, quarterback. I think it might have been the 4th or 5th or whatever it was, quarterback, given the offensive weapons around him. Mm-hmm. But if he was back in New England, that's why I said if he stayed in New England, he would have got old fast, old quicker than he's going to be down in Tampa Bay. And that's why. It's based on projection.
The idea that Brady would have stuck around and taking Belichick's hard coaching and tried to coach up these guys and squeeze another 12 wins out of them is absurd when you're given the opportunity to make more money in a tax-free state surrounded by a fantasy football offense, Lou. He'll look better next year. You're welcome, Tommy. I got you, buddy. He'll look a hell of a lot better and maybe earn a number 14 ranking next year throwing to 2 of the 10 best wide receivers in football.
Let me give you another one. I'm sure it hits you deep. And I'm sure you maybe shed a little tear.
That's all right. I'm ready.
Edelman, not in 100?
Edelman at 101 is the best thing that could have happened to him. It's the absolute best thing that could have happened to him. Because when you sandwich that with, oh, he's only good because Brady, this is exactly what he'll need at age 34, coming up on a contract year, Lou, to play as pissed off with as big a chip on his shoulder as he ever has before. I expect an enormous year out of Edelman, especially because now you find out you're good enough to be 101? 101. And... Yeah. You're only good because Brady. Think he's got something to prove this year?
Oh, he does. As long as he's got someone that can throw it in that little, you know.
Yeah.
little square there when he gets open. Sure. Yeah,
people will be talking. People are going to be talking about Lorenzo Edelman for years.
He can still be great and have a bad year.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's just the quarterback is not Brady, and they're not, they know each other so well. But I think out of the top 100, I think it's ridiculous for him.
See, I think, especially when Logan Ryan was number 60. I mean, it made no sense to
me. Logan Ryan, the guy doesn't even have a job yet.
Right. He's a good player, but top 60 player in the NFL, would you ever say that with Logan Ryan? I don't think I would say that. I would say this with Tom Brady. I think this guy's got it right in that there's just so much respect for Brady. Because think of what happened. When Brady was playing last year, there was tremendous criticism. We were sitting and defending Brady, right? We were blaming it on receivers. He doesn't have guys. He can't get separation. These kids don't know what they're doing. Now you got injuries, and then Antonio Brown was here for a couple weeks, and he's gone. We're making excuses, but they weren't nationally.
Yeah,
we were sitting here every day, Lou, talking about how nationally the Max Kellermans, and he wasn't alone. He's joining us, by the way, on Tuesday's show.
Wait, who? But what?
The Max Kellerman's
coming on.
Wait. You just kind of threw that out there like
Tuesday's show.
He is finally.
Well, you know what it is. Do you know what it is?
No.
This is the fourth anniversary of Max Kellerman starting on that First Take show.
So wait, he's going to join
us.
And
on the first show, do you know what he said on the very first show?
Black Lives Matter.
No, he did not.
Blue Lives Matter. I expect him to be off the cliff this season.
For sure. It's the fourth anniversary, so I think we should celebrate together with Max Kellerman the fourth anniversary of the first show on First Take where he made this stupid, idiotic, asinine take.
He is going to fall off a cliff.
Exactly. We should celebrate with him.
And we will. Tuesday. 2:30.
Yeah, we'll celebrate with him.
I'd also like to question the fact that at 8 years old, he asked his dad because he felt like the Redskins was inappropriate, the name. Couldn't believe. 8 years old, he felt that way.
When I was about 8 years old, I started really following football.
We'll bring it up. Let me get back to Tom Brady because he was not alone. There were a lot of people that were basically laughing, right? They were gaining some joy that Tom Brady was just looking like a normal quarterback out there. And suddenly, when he was off the Patriots, all of that changed. Suddenly, Tom Brady was elevated back up again, and the same people that were ripping the crap out of him are now treating him differently. I think this guy's right. I think it's because there's tremendous respect, living legend, a statue should be erected for Tom Brady. All of that stuff plays into putting him at number 14. And you're right, Lou, they're probably projecting. You put him with two good receivers, maybe a tight end, he might be better. Though his offensive line is shaky. There's a lot of other issues, running game and everything else that team has. But that may be part of it. But I think it's he's no longer with the Patriots, and I think he is a living legend. They want to put him at number 14. He does not deserve to be anywhere close to 14.
Glenn, I think you said it just a couple of minutes ago. This was the victory lap. This was the career and or lifetime achievement award placement for Tom Brady. This was like Al Pacino winning best actor for his worst performance ever in Scent of a Woman.
Good.
Just like, okay, good. Yeah, good. We finally owe you one, Tom. You belong up there because you're Tom Brady and you're moving on and we're not sure what we're going to get from you going down to Tampa. It was, back to the Edelman thing too. Like these rankings were so daft in this NFL top 100 this year. Edelman gets 101. And yeah, I know he led the league in drops last year, but he also carried the offense practically for half the season as well and had statistically one of his three best years. Larry Fitzgerald comes in at number 69 with 800 yards receiving and four touchdowns, Glenn.
Lifetime Achievement Award.
Again, yes, another Lifetime Achievement Award.
And a lot of guys get those Lifetime Achievement Awards. I think you're absolutely right in Julian Edelman. So he has spent his entire career, we laugh about it all the time, try to snuggle up to Tom Brady and beat Tom Brady, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now, coming up in this season, what's important for him is to totally separate himself from Tom Brady so nobody thinks he's just connected at the hip and part of his success is all because of Tom Brady. He needs to separate himself to show the rest of the world, I'm damn good. I don't need Tom Brady in my career. I think you're right.
I think he's earned, when people said immediately following Brady's departure, like, there goes Jules. Oh, Bubs is going to follow him down there. Brady's, you know, Edelman will be right under Brady's wing and or his side down there. I always thought that was just completely short-sighted because now Edelman, who's built up a reputation, who's considers himself a bit of a celebrity. He had the Julian Edelman 100 doc on Showtime. He's got his own production company, Glenn. So now this is Edelman's chance to prove he's a star, prove he's a team leader, be the face of the Patriots, and go out there and show everybody, I am not just a product of Tom Brady. I am the product of my own work and effort. Why would he ever leave? This is his team.
Yeah. Fitzy, filling in today for Fourier, Alou is concerned about the Red Sox lineup.
Lineup is out.
Celtics resume their season tomorrow against maybe the best team in the NBA, or certainly one of them. We get to all of that coming up next right here on OMF.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Guys on my team, Cameron Brate, they got COVID. I don't. I take my immunity. Why does Tom Brady talk like Lynn?
Excellent. Never gets old.
No, it never does it?
Nope. As a regular listener, it never does. No.
Never gets old.
So that was Lou doing Glenn doing Brady?
I think it was. Something like that.
Yeah.
I take my Protect. It's full of elderberry and echinacea. Well, go on my website right now. You can get a whole value pack for 10% off.
Hey, did you hear about WAAF?
My nuts cost $50.
I tell you what, though, Lou expanded his world today. He did a Dale Arnold early in the show. Didn't even realize it in the middle of it. He said, am I doing a Dale Arnold? Yeah.
John Heyman's tweet. I spoke like Dale. I don't know why.
The lineup's out, Lou. The lineup's out.
Hey, good news. Bogaerts is back in there. Yeah, that's the good news.
Well, they came in and pinch hit late in the game last night. Yep. It was okay.
Yep, and they pinch ran for him right away.
Yeah.
So they obviously wanted nothing to do with him in the field, but they drew a walk and they got him out. But Raffy Devers is sitting. Mitch Moreland is sitting. And Jackie Bradley Jr. is sitting.
All right.
So it's a little bit different look. So Jose Peraza leading off, Pilar's in second. And then you got J.D. Bogey, Vasquez, Verdugo, Chavis. Benintendi's hitting eighth. And Jonathan Arauz.
Good in the double play late in the game last night.
Dude, barehanded. Sick. Yeah. He's batting ninth. It was his first big league start. So, against Steven Mastelefty. But
Michael Chavis in the lineup. Still looking. Ooh.
Yeah, and again, nine at-bats. You know, it's one of those. Even though it's a 60-game season, it's still nine at-bats.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's still only nine at-bats. So, it's. I get the urgency with 60-game season, but listen, I think he's looked awful at the plate, but still nine at-bats.
You can say numerically it's 23, but it's, sorry, Glenn, I'm just going to say, like, yeah, technically now, because it's only a 60-game season, nine at-bats is like 24,
yeah,
but it's nine at-bats.
It's still nine.
Nine.
And I understand the percentage of the season is only 60 games, but again, that's where we go back to, like, this guy's only had one appearance, that guy's had one appearance, this guy's getting nine at-bats. And, you know, right now everybody's loving Pilar. He's 8-for-14. 14 at-bats.
He'll cool down.
So it's just, I understand you got to roll them out there, but I don't know. I mean,
but see,
you got to get two out of the three lefties out in New York. So maybe this is, you know, the game where, you know, you roll this lineup out there and maybe you see, I think Devers will be in there against both lefties, but maybe Moreland gets one of them, maybe both.
Matz is a lefty tonight, right?
Yep.
He's a lefty.
95 curveball change.
Yeah. So Pilar will slow down. We know it. He's a great fielder, but he is a streak hitter, and he's in a phenomenal streak right now. But that was the point I was trying to make to Ron Renneke yesterday, that you can look at all of the analytics you want. When a guy is on a streak, Lou, and we're only talking about a 60-game season, I don't want him out of the lineup. Same thing with Jackie Bradley Jr. When he's on one of those streaks, we all know he will hit for 20, 30 days solid. And then suddenly goes cold. For those 20 days, I think I want him in the lineup. I don't care who's pitching, righty, lefty. I don't care.
No, I get it. But, you know, is the reason why Pilar is on a streak is because he's faced lefties?
Yes.
And if you played him against righties, would he be on a streak?
Yeah, that's a good
Same
point.
Same thing with Moreland. You know what I mean? He had a couple bombs, right? So it's was he swinging a bat well because he faced righties? So that's where the platoons come into play. I don't know if you guys hear Chaim Bloom. He was actually on this morning with Greg Hill. And they asked him, just like we asked Ron Renicki, because there's a lot of questions, right? All this analytics and the lineup has been so different, and you've got a lot of different guys they can put in there. They asked Chaim Bloom about the analytics and putting a lineup together, and this was his response.
I've never seen this as something where you just, you know, print out a sheet from a computer and you do what the sheet tells you. I think that's kind of a cartoonish portrayal of what analytics really are. Well, for me, analytics is really just using all the information at our disposal to try to learn things about the game that can help us win. And that can take a lot of different forms. It doesn't ever mean you remove the human element. There's a reason that, you know, the manager in that dugout is entrusted to make those decisions, because he's got to factor in all the information in the moment. And he may have information in the moment that I don't have and that nobody watching has. You know, if you don't rely on those things at all, then you're just giving up an advantage. But it, by no means does it mean you throw out all the other information that you might have.
Yeah, so this idea that, you know, you have these lineup analysis and all of a sudden, because they have those. And it's just, this is the ultimate lineup. It's going to produce 10.4 runs or 6.2 runs and go with this optimal lineup. You know, it's not just, okay, well, it prints it out. That's what we go with. There's still that other element that they do consider.
Yeah, but don't you think it has an awful lot to do with the confidence that you have in a manager? So Tito used to get all of those analytics stuff.
Not as much, not like this.
Not as much as today.
Not even close.
I would agree with you. He probably gets it with the Indians right now, but not as much. But there would be times he would take it all in, but there were times that he would overrule it. Alex Cora, maybe he got to the point last year, Lou, where he could overrule it a little bit. Maybe the first year, not as much. Is Ron Renicki, does he have the juice right now to sit there to the analytics guys and say, you know what, I'm staying with Pilar tonight. Sorry, guys, I'm just going with it. I think it has a lot to do with that, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I think it is a blend, maybe more than people realize. You know, again, as we were talking about it the other day, what it really is, and I kind of learned a lot about it this offseason, but. It, you know, the strength of a hitter, and you'll see those little box and the hot squares and the hot boxes, and they put those things up there, and it's like he's cold in this zone and hot in this zone and everything else. So they take that little thing off a certain lefty or against lefties. This is his hot zone. Well, then they throw Steven Matz's up there, right? With his hot zone, cold zone, everything else, and they put both of them together. And if where he is effective is in your weak spots, you ain't playing that night. You know, and you could sit there and say, well, I'm swinging the bat well. Yeah, I know, but this is the zone he attacks, and you can't hit that pitch. The reason why you're hitting good is because you're hitting this zone. He doesn't live there. He doesn't go there. So if you're hot, that's great, but we're actually protecting you against a guy that we don't think you can hit right now.
Yeah.
So, and then that's just a whole different level of stuff when you're like, listen, I'm seeing the ball well. I don't care who I'm facing. I don't care what zone you're looking at. I'm going to hit him.
And I'm glad that Bloom said that, Lou, because I think to a lot of baseball fans, they believe that now, since we are living in the age of analytics, that every decision is made just based on numbers, or that an algorithm is spitting out every move that needs to be made. It's nice to actually hear somebody who can be analytically minded and so thoughtful like Chaim Bloom saying, like, oh, no, you can't take the human element out of the game, because otherwise you would basically just have a touch screen or like a robot in the dugout making the decisions for you. So it's nice to hear that.
But Fitzy, to do that, somebody, the manager's got to stand up and say, hey, hold on, because it's nice for Bloom to say it, but the manager's got to actually say, hey, guys, I've been around this last week. He's on a roll. He's playing with great confidence. I'm watching it every step he makes in the clubhouse. This kid is right now showing great confidence, because I agree. The analytics that Lou just talked about, you can't fight them. They make sense. They're statistics that are based over a big sample. But I do think, Fitzy, in a 60-game season, that confidence run that a player has for 2 or 3 weeks might be the difference of you getting in the postseason or not.
Oh,
I think you got to take far more of that into consideration. I want to ask Lou, because he, last night for the first time, had to sit down and do a baseball game. He did a baseball game at Fenway Park, except there was no game at Fenway Park. So we sat in a booth, a glass booth. He was separated. I think Joe's in a different booth, right?
Yeah, it's always great.
And Will's
to
in
have
with you
here, Lou.
Will's in with you?
Yes.
Okay. And you were looking at monitors.
Yes.
Now, I will say this because I watched TV last night. I listened to you guys for a while. And I really, the sound, the I'm not trying to rip the crowd sound or whatever. It sounds fake, but you need it. You need some type of noise to fill it in. So I'm not ripping it. It's necessary. I get it. It just doesn't sound real. But overall, the broadcast, I don't think you can really tell the difference. Both TV and you guys, I couldn't tell the difference whether you were at the game or not.
No, and I agree, because at one point, you know, in our ear, too, you can hear that crowd noise, and it just makes it feel kind of real, even though you know it's not.
You need it.
I mean, I'm looking at a big screen TV. I got two or three other monitors, and I'm looking at a Fenway Park that is dark, okay? I mean, not only no fans.
Did they turn the lights on for you guys?
No lights, no fans, nobody in the field, nothing, nothing at all.
Just give you some
cutouts. There was a point in that game where actually something happened in the broadcast where the fan noise left us for a minute. And it really was. It was
out for like half a minute, right?
Yeah, it wasn't even that long. Yeah, you're right. It was 20 seconds or something.
Yeah.
And it felt weird.
Right?
It really did. It felt strange. And it was just like, and then the music, and then the sound came back, that little murmur you hear. And you're like, okay, now it feels normal again.
Yeah.
So I think it helps the viewer, helps the listener. It's nothing, but it's just there. It's just what you're used to. But yeah, it was okay. You just watch the game in the monitor. And I kind of like it. You can watch that pitcher-catcher relationship, you know, calling the game and seeing what he's looking to do. I liked it.
You need it, right, yeah. Fitzy? You need that sound, even though is fake. I mean, we all know it's fake. I mean, you sit there and you can just tell it's not genuine sound. But if you take it away, what the hell do you have?
Oh, I need it, Glenn. I need it. I don't need big cheers, and I don't need auxiliary sounds, but just the general din. Just like the murmur of the crowd. It's that little bit of white noise that gives you comfort that is the bed for Joe and Will and Lou and all your other favorite play-by-play guys, both on TV and the radio, to call the game. Like, if you're flying and you're in an airplane, you know there's that general, the hum of, like, the air being recirculated and the engines outside. If you're in an airplane and it just goes dead silent for 20 seconds...
Trust me, if that happens, Fizzy, yeah. You're done.
Yeah,
just kiss your ass goodbye.
Done.
That's right. But I've watched the NHL, and the NHL does a really good job with it. Now, the one thing that's going to be interesting, they're doing it on delay because they're fearful you can hear so much, because you can hear the skates and you can hear guys talking. And I think they're fearful you're going to hear some bad words, which I don't think is a big deal if you hear some of the bad words.
Well,
did you hear Josh Reddick last night?
Right. Exactly.
No, I didn't. Right.
You didn't? Guys, do you have the Reddick? No? Yeah. Okay. Oh,
missed it.
So Lou, there, he's at bat. And he pops a foul, and the third baseman wanders over into might have been Oakland because there's about 10,000 feet of foul ground over there, catches it. The loudest F-bomb you have ever heard, followed by, like, drops the loudest F-bomb ever, and then 1-2. Sorry.
Oh, really?
Play-by-play
well,
guy
apologize.
Just does it clear.
He did
sorry.
Apologize. He F-4. Did apologize. But I think you're going to get that in the NHL. The NBA, you hear the guys talking. But they're playing the music and the in-house stuff so loud. So they're allowing the home team to actually dictate how they present the games. Yeah, all that stuff. And so it depends what game. Like the other night, it was a Houston home game with the Celtics. And you're hearing all of what you would hear in Houston. So they're doing it that way. But I'm not sure you're going to hear as much as you want. But I thought it was strange. It had to be strange, Lou. You're sitting there and you're going, oh, my God. I'm doing this off a TV screen. Here's the thing I fear the most, though, guys, is that our business, and you know how a business operates, a lot of these broadcasting companies across the land of ours are going to look at this and say, you know what? This really works. This is not that bad.
Yeah.
Why do we send broadcasters?
It's a hotel
on the
we're paying
road,
for.
Hotel,
why
airfare, food.
Yeah, we don't want to do that. We don't need to do that.
What are we doing this for?
Yeah.
No, Let's keep them home.
Yeah, I hear you. I understand that. I understand. There is... I mean, it's like I said, it was okay, it was fine, right? But being at the ballpark in a normal atmosphere where you can be in a locker room, where you can travel with the team, as a guy that covers the game, you know, or covers a team, I think that helps an awful lot in that broadcast. Being down there in the field and just that communication adds a lot. So I would hope that they would never do that because they would lose a lot. But it was strange. You know, it was strange going there. It was strange leaving. You kind of felt like, you know, am I in the wrong place? Like, is there something going? And you open up the broadcast, and then right. we got everything going on in our booth, but we're the only ones there. Only ones. The Spanish broadcast was going on.
Sure. But do they have like a ballpark scented like Yankee candle they can burn near you just so you can smell like popcorn, hot dogs, and beer? Because I just imagine like, no, but like going to the game, it's the whole sensation. Like, sure, you're glad that it's absent 20,000 people standing up to take selfies during the game and block your view, but not smelling beer and hot dogs and cotton candy and popcorn.
The grass is beautiful.
What are we doing? We're just out there. It's just basically,
yeah,
they're just playing ball.
Yeah, we're back at it again tonight, too.
Yeah, you don't get the sausage smell out in Lansdowne Street.
You're nothing. No, I'm telling you, the weirdest thing is, like last night again, you drive to the ballpark, and you park in that lot, and there's no cars there, and you walk over to Fenway Park, and there's nobody on the streets. And now this was a road game. I did this for a home game. Okay, a home game a couple nights ago where you walk down there and there's just a couple security guards letting you in. You got to do all this testing before you walk in there. But there's nobody on the street. You walk into Fenway and you're like, am I in the right place? Like, there is a game tonight, right? Am I doing this game? And then, when you get up the elevator and you look out there, the team's taking BP and you're like, okay, got it.
Right.
But last night, there was nothing.
See, that's kind of surprising.
Nothing. Nobody on the field, nothing.
So that's kind of surprising that you didn't get people that were just showing up, just gawking, that wanted to be there.
Nope.
The restaurants are open in Boylston a block away.
Nobody.
Right? Yep. Nobody.
Ghost town.
I thought.
Weird.
No, I saw that video, though, of the first game last Friday night, though, with the sausage guy out in Lansdowne, and there were people at, there was a lot of outdoor dining going on. You know, Cask had some people out. So was there a little ambiance out there?
Well, because Friday, I did a show from there. So I walked in there at 1 o'clock or whatever it was, 1:30.
So you're in your broadcast.
Right. Party. But I did walk out across the street. Yeah, there were some people out on just beyond left field wall on the other side. They have a patio restaurant going on out there. You could see it from the Green Monster seats. But no, so I didn't see it. But I just walking in there like I will here at 6:30, 6:15, and there's just nobody.
All right, before we close this segment out, has anybody got a plan, a contingency plan, if any of those monitors go out? Lou, what happens?
I don't know. MLB app? Maybe watch the game from there?
Tune into the fan?
This is trouble.
Talk show? That would be trouble.
Make it up.
That would be trouble.
JD with a 3-run homer. Just hit it right here.
That would be trouble.
Reboot tonight for the NBA, and they got a good one. They got the Lakers and the Clippers. The Celtics get the Bucks tomorrow night. Let's throw out our predictions on the Celtics. We'll do that coming up next right here on OMF.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.